Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
First of all, any explanation from you on how they can look so bad against the Chicago team the other night that played in Winnipeg the night before and to come out with no jump like that and fall behind 2-0 early? I can't explain it, man. Maybe you can.
I don't have a magic answer for you either, Ron. I tell you what, I think a lot of stuff that's happened this season we can sort of look at critically and explain it, and there have been some reasons why, even if people might not agree with them. But last night, or two nights ago, I'm sorry, was just really something else. I mean, that was a dud of all duds to have that sort of effort based on the progress they had seemingly made. I just don't get it. And I think, you know, if I'm going to try to like chip away at something, I think about Evgeny Malkin, Phil Kessel, sort of the lack of production there, just an overall malaise with this team. And you know, it just shouldn't be happening at this point.
Well, I kind of thought like they were coming out of it a little bit. They were playing better. The win on the island the other night with 2-1 and the shootout was impressive. You mentioned Malkin and Kessel. They both look awful to me, Jason. I can't figure it out. Malkin's had, what, one even strength goal since the end of October? How can that be?
I know. And I just posted something to our site, Ron, a little bit deeper on this stuff. I mean, one even strength goal since October. He's a minus 15 during that stretch. I mean,
wow.
It is bad. He's not shooting the puck. He's not attempting shots. You know, I would want to believe that he's hurt. I mean, he didn't suddenly forget how to play hockey. The little snippet that we've seen of those two together, it's bad, and I feel like it's worse when they're even apart. You know, but you know how these guys are. Like, they could come out tonight, produce 5 goals as a line, and I'm not sure I'd be all that shocked. It's just, I don't know whether it's December and disinterest and this is the sort of stuff you deal with or not, but I know Sullivan's really trying to get through to Malkin here and get him to just, you know, quit trying to make overly risky plays, just shoot the puck, put it on the net, good enough. And I think Malkin's he's trying to do way too much, and then he's frustrating himself at other levels and reacting to things, taking retaliatory penalties, and it's just sort of compounding itself.
Well, I was going to say, I'd be happy if he just stopped taking stupid penalties. I mean, he leads the team, doesn't he, in minor penalties?
I believe he does.
And how many times do we see him take penalties in the offensive zone? I think he gets lazy with the stick. He gets the hooking, the interference calls. It's just it's too much.
It is too much. It is too much, absolutely. And that would – I wish they had a way to track where penalties occurred. I did a story once about when they occurred in games, and he's really bad about doing it in the third period too, but where on the ice. I agree with you. I mean, it's all it is effort stuff. You know, it's not moving your feet. And he was guilty of that in Chicago, probably worse than anybody. And, again, that's what makes me think in the back of my mind, like, is he okay? You know, we haven't seen him limping. There's no talk of a potential injury or anything like that. It's just, how can you be this disengaged right now? It doesn't make sense.
And Kessel's the other guy, too. I mean, he had the 2 goals, you know, a week or so ago in the one game, but basically, offensively, hasn't done anything, Jason.
No, he hasn't. And we talk about Malkin's numbers. You know, it's kind of like the first 10 games of the season and the last 20. And I don't know how Phil's break out in this sort of thing, but I'm willing to bet they're similar. Like, Malkin had, you know, they both have 33 points. I think Malkin had 20 of his 33 over the first 10 games. You know, they both sort of came out of the gates hot. They were hot together. Their line was carrying the Penguins during that first little stretch. And since, it's just been nothing. Whatever mojo there was at the beginning of the season, it doesn't exist. And, you know, I do think that's something that Sullivan, it drives him crazy, and it's something that he has to guard against, about those two just getting too fancy with each other. They're each trying to make the last pass, and they almost like to have this argument on the ice, like, no, you take. You wouldn't think that these two guys, it would be an issue, but it's an issue.
Well, I mean, let's face it, this is a star-driven team, and Crosby's been great, and Letang has been great. When two of the stars are struggling, man, you're going to look like a below-average team.
Yeah, and you also look at their bottom six right now, and it's not good enough, and I think they think it can be, but how much longer are we going to go here? You know, I like Matt Cullen, you know, as much as anybody in that room. He's a wonderful human being, but they need more production out of the fourth line than they've gotten. And tonight it's going to be Derek Grant, Matt Cullen, and Garrett Wilson, and that's a really offensively challenged fourth line. And then you can look at Derek Brassard and say, where is it at? You know, we're almost at the 50-game mark, I think, as far as time he spent in a Penguin sweater, if you include the playoffs. And the production just isn't commensurate with the amount of money he makes. You know, it's great that Brian Rust got going, but that's one game out of 30 that he's really produced much. So if he can continue it, maybe that helps. But they have some holes that they certainly need to fill. Again, they think they have capable people. I would happen to agree with most of it, but these guys need to produce here soon.
We're talking to Jason Mackey, the Post-Gazette, here on the Cook and Joe Show. And, Jason, he's shuffling up his lines again, Mike Sullivan is. The Brassard on Sid's line didn't last all that long. Now they're going to try Pearson with Sid and Gensel, and then Aston Reese is getting a shot with Malkin and Kessel. What do you make of those two lines?
I like the shuffle. I like what he's doing there. I think Pearson started out okay with that group. I do think they're chasing, missing Carl Hagelin on that line. Not that I'm against the trade. I understand why Jim did what he did, but they need an element of kind of corner work, digging pucks out, doing a little bit of the blue-collar stuff that Pearson just doesn't necessarily do. And if you're going to play Malkin and Kessel together, I think that Sullivan's looking for a different ingredient there. And Zach Aston-Reese, I thought in Long Island, really played an excellent game, blocking shots and throwing his body around. I think he had 8 hits. And so I'm interested to see how that plays. You know, he can do things for himself if he wants to play some defense, do a little bit of what Hagelin did, bang and crash in front of the net. And then, you know, Tanner Pearson, I don't know if I see a direct fit there with Sid and Gensel, because I certainly want Gensel taking the bulk of the shot. Well, Gensel and Sid. And Pearson has been plenty shot happy, but nobody died and made me the expert here. So we'll see how that one plays out tonight. But I like the Aston Reese thing for sure.
And then Hornquist, I hear Sullivan says day-to-day. So is there some hope he might play this weekend, or do you think it'll be at least until next week?
I think it'll be at least until next week, Ron. I'm not optimistic, and even Monday might be a challenge, quite honestly. I mean, it won't be tomorrow. He's missed now, I think, 2 skates in a row, and they had an off day yesterday. So him coming back tomorrow with no morning skate tomorrow would be really tricky. I mean, I wouldn't say it's 100% that he's out, but it's very unlikely. And, they don't practice Sunday, so the most he would have would be a morning skate. And then he had then missed about a week, I would say, roughly, before he would play against the Ducks. It's just, it'd be iffy. And this goes for how they're getting Murray back and how they're dealing with a lot of stuff. Like, their December schedule is just really weird. They don't have a lot of practice days, and they have to make the most of their morning skates. But it's looking like a bit for Hornquist here, and, man, is that a huge loss for them.
All right, let's talk about the goaltending. He's going to make Matt Murray wait another night. I think we all knew he was going to play one of these two, just weren't sure if it was going to be DeSmith tonight and then Murray. So it's DeSmith tonight against Boston. I imagine it's going to be Murray tomorrow night against the Kings. What do you make of that lineup, the rotation?
I'm not too surprised, Ron. I thought he could go one of two ways. I mean, this is obviously one of them. I could also have understood wanting to start Murray tonight, and then you come back with Murray again against the Ducks. But, with the off day Sunday, I don't think it's the biggest thing if he would go Murray tomorrow and then come back with Murray on Monday again. I mean, you need to get him established. The only thing I was a little bit surprised by was, you know, I thought Casey was fairly mediocre in Chicago. I don't look at that and say he has to play another game. You know, they've played him a lot of games in a row. But with, like what I said before, the lack of practice time, I mean, that's essentially what this comes down to. They haven't had practices, and they want to try to get Murray all the work and reps they can before sending him back out there. Because, I mean, let's face it, this is a very important decision for them. This is, you know, they need to not have this blow up in their face and bring Murray back, even if it's a start too soon or a game too soon. If he goes in there and things go awry and then they can't get him established, I mean, that could really mean big, bad things for them this season.
Well, you know Murray as well as anybody. I know you've talked to him. Do you think this time off is going to benefit him? I mean, I really think he has to be the guy starting real soon. Maybe not tonight. Tomorrow wouldn't be too soon for me, though.
No, I agree with you, Ron. And, you know, I like Casey DeSmith a lot, and I think he's probably earned himself a nice contract next summer. And, you know, maybe it's with Pittsburgh, maybe it's not. I think he's a great goaltender. But I don't look at this team and say they're even close to a Stanley Cup contender with Casey DeSmith in net. I don't know how you do it. I mean, it's got to be the guy who's won two cups. And, you know, not only are there business implications for Murray, you know, if he struggles, what do you do with his contract that's up after next season? Do you try to retain him? What has he shown you? You probably don't. And, you know, but all of that stuff aside, like, this team is built to win now. And they have a guy who's won two cups, and they need him to play like that in order for them to make a run at another one. And, you know, I think he can. I think the time off will help him a lot. I've been told by a lot of people that they're very optimistic about his demeanor. I mean, this was absolutely an injury. I can say that for sure. Like, he was hurt. This wasn't just we're going to rest him for the sake of resting him. But there seems to be a fair amount of optimism around this that Matt's in a different place, that the time off will have helped him. And again, like you, like everybody else, I'll be really curious to see how it plays out tomorrow.
Jason, you know, I've been around here a long time. I saw the players eventually tune out Michael Therrien. I saw them tune out Dan Bylsma. We're not at that point yet with Mike Sullivan, are we?
No, we're not. We're not.
And I'm not suggesting he be fired or anything like that, but I know how it works in hockey if the players tune you out.
No, I know. I know, Ron, and it's completely unfair. I think it's crazy. The life of a hockey coach is just nuts. But, no, I truly don't believe that. And I know it's probably tough for people to hear. You know, how are they not tuning him out? I saw what they did in Chicago on Wednesday. And, you know, that's understandable, but I think, you know, you do have to take into account there's 82 games, and sometimes you just don't have it. Sometimes we all have rough days at the office and whatever, and that's not to, you know, explain it away and not care about it. But believe me, I mean, Mike Sullivan, you know this as well as anybody, Ron. Mike Sullivan isn't the problem here. His lack of solutions is not the problem. If anything, I think he's tried too many things. They're not tuning him out. He's not in danger of losing his job.
What do you expect tonight? Do you expect a strong performance? Do you expect them to come out flying against this Boston team? I guess Tuukka Rask is going to be in goal.
Yeah, I expect them to play pretty well tonight, Ron. I'm not buying Boston right now. I know they've won three in a row, but they've got a lot of young kids in there that are kind of, you know, I'm not sure I'd take it to the bank. And Rask has been spotty, and you know, I think the Penguins had the right amount of stuff scared out of them in Chicago. You know, there was a fair amount of, like, goodwill built up, and they were optimistic that they got this thing turned around. I think some of the team's leaders, Crosby and Letang in particular, were pretty hacked off about what happened in Chicago. You know, that they really felt like they squandered a key opportunity. So I don't think, given where they're at mentally, I don't think they're going to let another one get away from them.
And then you got the Kings tomorrow night. Hagelin, I guess, is out, right? He's hurt?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Anaheim comes in Monday. We get to see Daniel Sprong. Watch him score about three goals on Monday night.
I know. I don't know when the parade's planned for Sunday, but if you get any time on that, let me know.
He's off to a decent start out there. So I scored on a shootout goal the other day.
And you know what, Ron? He's going to do stuff like that. He's going to score goals. And like, I don't begrudge the Penguins for making the move they did, but I do think Daniel Sprong's going to be an effective player. It's just how much of the defense are you willing to live with not having? And Mike Sullivan wasn't able to live with his shortcomings. And Mike Sullivan also won two Stanley Cups in 3 years, and he's done a lot of good things. So if you want to take the balance of what Mike Sullivan brings, that means you don't get Daniel Sprong, or you can have Daniel Sprong and no cups. So, I mean, that's the way I see it. I think Daniel Sprong's an exciting player. I always enjoyed covering him. I liked watching him, but I understand why it didn't work here.
All right, Jason, thank you. See you at the rink real soon, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, sounds good, Ron. You too. Take care.
All right.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.